Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I hope everyone is having a good week so far and has an even better one to come. And hello, Naomi. How's it going?
Hey, hi, Pam. Going good, going good. All curled up in a little blanket here, cup of tea, sipping, like an old lady.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
That sounds really nice.
Waiting to get into some great, great poetry here tonight. And a wonderful
right
from the board. Oh, my God. I don't know how you're going to do that. What you're going to do, what miracle you're going to do to judge this one, Pam, but my gracious.
I don't know, Naomi. I may have to rope somebody in to help me.
Oh,
We did absolutely have a great turnout for tonight's show. The poetry is quality and quantity. That is for sure.
And spiked this inspiration for this contest, Pam? Amazing.
Well, as per usual, it started with me wandering around the internet looking for potential prompt ideas when I happened to run across a quote about scribbling or scribbles. And then I started looking up more quotes, and then my mind clicked and I said, I think I remember seeing before an artist that drew in, you know, scribbles. And there is actually more than one, but the one that I was particularly drawn to was Liz Y. Ahmet. And you can find her work on Instagram, on Facebook. You basically just look up her name and you can find her personal webpage. She's been doing her scribble portraits, which are always female portraits. The expressions on the faces tend to be more neutral because it's through the scribbles, the swirls, the splatters. She works in many different mediums, mostly pencil and ink, but she also does paint, and those are what help create the what she calls the chaos of emotion around the portrait. She does prefer to work in smaller pieces because she believes that emotion is best expressed within spontaneity, and you can't be as spontaneous or whatever the word is. Sorry, yeah, I hate when I stumble over a simple word. You know, you just can't have that same spontaneity if you're working on a larger piece. I highly recommend checking her work out to anybody who hasn't done so. You know, maybe checking her out on Facebook, checking her out on Instagram, and you'll see what I'm talking about when you see the beauty and the expression that comes through with her almost chaotic, seemingly chaotic style. And so her artwork teamed up with a variety of quotes that had to do with scribbling. Yeah, inspired people just beautifully. And I am definitely looking forward to tonight's show.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Right across the board. Oh, my gracious. Phenomenal.
And I would like to welcome area code 703, who I believe to be Zach. Is that you, Zach?
Yes.
Hi, wonderful. I'm glad you could join us. How's your evening going?
Fine. I have my back warmer on from arthritis, and I've got my notebook all laid out, and I'm all set. I'm locked in.
Sounds great.
Looking forward.
Sounds very good. Yes.
Awesome.
Just like Naomi, I'm enjoying my cup of tea.
Yeah, mine is licorice, black licorice, licorice.
Ooh.
Tea, always.
That sounds good.
Always.
I love black licorice. I actually have a bag of soft Australian black licorice in my bedroom drawer. It's my secret thing.
Black Australian licorice. Oh, I have to taste that. Oh, my gracious.
The best. There's actually a couple different brands.
The Wallaby brand?
There is a couple different brands, and both of them are real good. You have to get this called soft black licorice. So it's not as chewy as like when you think of like Twizzler type licorice. So it's really yummy. Yeah. Yep. But and the tea I'm drinking is peach ginger turmeric.
Oh, that's good.
It is really good. Really good. Good. All right. Well, let's see. I believe as of now, it's just us three turkeys, which makes for a nice gathering. And so, Naomi, whenever you're ready, we can get this ball rolling.
Yeah, so I already have our first poem up, and it's a wonderful, right? Well, they're all wonderful tonight, but this is a really great write, and by Postwoman. And if you want to go ahead and give it a read, Pam.
All right. Scribbles on the flesh of the sky and your fingernails full of clouds by Postwoman. Sometimes the pen feels like a syringe and the fingers like nothing at all. We exist and we don't. Some words are photons. Some words eat photons. Some words are sighs. Some sighs are silences. Some silences are eternal. Quills of cloud, solitude, signatory, constellations of graffiti, horseshoe of harsh hopes full of frilly fog. Some are just companions of sorrow, strangely impermanent, yet imperial, under the torture of transience. So much till the moon is anemic. Some are the pulsations in the temples of the earth, a sudden jerk we wake up to and think it was merely the night train. Some words are happy about nothing and for nothing. They're just happy to find the corners of a dictionary, the first edition of which is in the discard section of an old library with the ceiling so tall. Two readers felt like gems, clips in love, holding the floor and clasping the soil beneath with leftover roots of trees that were because roots seldom rot. We drove to the church and set eyes on the lights outside, hanging with so much trust that they won't fall until no one cares anymore, until everyone's sick of stars and lights and would walk home over piles and piles of remains of balloons and caps and the frayed edges of a paper balancing the subtle moment from the sequel of an emotion to the postscript of the inarticulate, only a thin sheet of blank snow and some screws of punctuation. End poem. And Naomi, your thoughts on this beautiful write?
Oh, yeah. You know, this is so amazingly as beautiful as it is brilliant. You know, in this poem, the Odd Postwoman, she describes exactly what writing is and all its different facets with mind-blowing metaphors and powerful imagery. You know that, and you know this poem. I read it, and it stayed with me long after, you know, I finished reading it. There's so many great lines in here. You know, just right from the beginning, sometimes the pen feels like a syringe and the fingers like nothing at all. We exist and we don't. You know, it's so true, you know, like depending on our mood and what we're writing, like the pens can be a syringe, you know, like either, you know, to give us pain or to soothe us from our pain. And, you know, and our fingers feel like nothing at all as we're holding the pen. And, you know, it all depends. She goes through such a multitude of different ways that words can exist, you know, as we write constellations of graffiti, horseshoe of harsh hopes full of frilly fog. Yeah, you know, words that give us, you know, either hope, harsh hope, or fill us with just frilly fog that, you know, that there will be a kind of hope there, I guess. You know, the just amazing all the way through. I can keep going on and on and on. Just, you know, just amazing the way that she laid this out. And, you know, I'm right to that last line, only a thin sheet of blank snow and some screws of punctuation. You know, what great metaphor she has and imagery all the way through this. Just amazing.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. And you're right. There is a wonderful expression here of the different emotions that can be found within words, and a great comment. And Zach, your thoughts?
Yes, Cyril. I was captivated immediately by the title. It reminded me of scratching at the wood from House of Usher, the coffin, except it's not that quite like that. It's like lifelike instead. Instead, they're clawing at like the confines of life, trying to break out like through the ceiling and through the bottom sort of thing. That's kind of what I got. And I loved the celestial darkness of it and alternating kind of feelings of hope and despair. I think there might have been the syringe fingers. There's something like called like a dictionary. So that might be a subliminal addictionary. Like it's kind of like it's very subtle. And I love the sort of the E.E. Cummings like ending, the screws of punctuation, kind of trailing off like a bunch of ellipses at the end. Very enjoyable.
I like that. Great observation there. And yeah, there is a kind of a darkness to it, and the idea of the addiction that can happen within love and life. You know, just an amazing write all the way through. Brilliant imagery and metaphors. I like how this speaks to me, especially with the beginning lines of the mention of the syringe and the old library, and then at near the end of walking past the piles of balloons and caps. It almost speaks to me of a loss of childhood, a loss of innocence, where as we learn to express more and more emotions and understand ourselves and people more, both the good and the bad, we start to lose our sense of innocence at the same time that we're going through a personal growth. At least that's what I got from it. But all the way through, truly an amazing write and very well done. And what do we have next, Naomi? Are you on mute, Naomi?
I am already. I'm already already disobeying. And okay, so next I'm going to read Vicki Moore Scribbles, which is a little brevity, and but to the point, not one spoilt word here. And it's called Scribbles. Dark, empty eyes, mouth open in a silent cry. That is all I have left of myself, just scribbles on paper, end poem. And
I see how you are giving yourself the four-line poem to read.
I'm making a fill of myself.
Yeah, there you go. You're filling in for Phil. There you go. But great read, Naomi. And what are your thoughts here, Zach?
It reminded me of kind of like Into the Metro by Ezra Pound, kind of like that same darkness. It's just like a stinking feeling of the scribbles on paper. The S shapes kind of like just falling down. Despair. That's what's left.
You know what? You're right. That is a really great comparison, you know, because that particular write by Ezra Pound, it's very simplistic, and yet there is a layered darkness of emotion. I've always wanted to do a contest on Ezra Pound poetry or quotes. He was a bizarre, fascinating, and somewhat dark character. You know, never quite sure if I ever agree with everything that he believed, but you know, his poetry definitely speaks for itself. But I think, you know what I mean.
Oh yeah.
But great comparison there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Off mute, Naomi, off mute. Yeah, you know, this made me think of, you know, just the way that she put it there, mouth open in a silent cry. This is all I have left of myself. You know, it's powerful indeed as a cry out to say, hey, I exist, look, you know, or just a mumbled whisper, that cry being like a kind of a plead, you know, a mumbled whisper that look at me, you know, look at me, I'm here, guys, you know, I exist. And, you know, so although she sees herself as just scribbles on a paper, I see this as, you know, a plea in some way to try and exist in a world that maybe doesn't understand her or doesn't accept. She feels different. So wonderful, right, by Vicki Moore. You know, such a short poem, but so powerful. My gracious, very powerful.
It really, it is, absolutely. Four lines that say so much. And you're right, there is this, this cry out to be acknowledged, you know, to have it feel like people think that you are worth acknowledging. And really has quite an impact. You know, with all four lines, and it is difficult to separate. But I did especially like mouth open in a silent cry, because it's often those silent cries that carry the most pain. Amazing, right, and very well done. And what do we have next, Naomi?
Okay, so next, I don't have a four-line poem, Zach, but I have one for you, and by Shalini Krish, Bobo Stinging, and there you go, whenever you're ready.
All right, Bonbon Stinging. Bursts of pink from an azalea reverie, violets puffing, romance whimsy, blue pollen doused in daisy fantasy, sunshine frills kept by daffodil Goldie, colors were sprayed, mumbled and jumbled, and psychedelic snowflakes drizzling on Maros. Mesmerizing, a face hypnotized me evermore. Dream of a dormant glass soul, or animus forgotten in chaos, like butterfly wings on a velvety green song. Dual set, and it instantly possessed me with charm. Spontaneous, my brush stroke, scribbles and doodles danced from Paulette. My curls never cared to name the passion. Intoxicated river, flow trippy, hippy trippy, crescents of brow borrowed from wings of Saturn, eye pools placid, wore naughty iris, mischievous mystery widened in smile arcs, tantalizing a moon blossomed in my canvas. I heard his whispers, tinkling, twinkling but feeble, a distant voice of unfulfilled night stars. He kissed the naughty beams on my sleeping cheeks softly, but the bubbles busted on flash of my eyelids, nights left me unquenched, alone in dawn's courtyard, vacant, a light lurked in sunrise, but he smiled and smiled as he always did. Disillusionment, take kick for foolish dreamers. What about the dreams? Forever blissful, they float somewhere. Fallen dreams cut me. Oh no, never could they shut me, for I have glimpsed heaven through Bonbon Stinging. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Zach, and what a beautiful and thought-provoking write by Bonbon Stinging. I'm so obsessed with that title. It's just very cool, by Shalini Krish. I love the idea of something that is both sweet and stinging. It almost makes me think of the idea of drinking some sort of like alcohol, like, or what's the green fairy stuff. It has a very trippy feel to it. Not only the title and that phrase, but the you know, the idea of, you know, eating the cake and going off into some dreamland has a very trippy Alice in Wonderland type of vibe to it that I really like. And I like how this speaks to me on a connection between our, you know, dreams, the connection we feel as we dream to another part of ourselves. I really like, I heard his whispers twinkling but feeble, a distant voice of unfulfilled night stars. He kissed Manali beams on my sleeping cheeks softly, but the bubbles busted on a flash of my eyelid. Nights left me unquenched, alone in dawn's courtyard. And those are amazing lines, very emotional, speaking on the, you know, the dreams and connection we have at nighttime, only to wake up to the harsh reality of life, the stinging sweetness of life. Amazing write and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, like you, Pam, you know, first of all, I love the captivating, powerful juxtaposition of the title of a bow stinging, you know, like bow, well, I don't know, must be the same in English as in French. It's a candy, eh? Bow, and, you know, the sting. So something that's sweet but stings, and that right away, that was intriguing for me. You know, I wanted to read more. And then just the way that she takes us on this amazing ride, like you said, you know, you referred to Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, she takes us on this trippy ride through her mind, her thoughts, her dreams that are, you know, that are both bittersweet, even harsh at times when you take that part, you know, when she wakes up and, you know, there's the fallen dreams cut me. Oh, no, never they could they shut me. You know, for I have glimpsed heaven through ball stinging. And so, you know, that's the bittersweetness of the whole vibe of the piece, I think. And, you know, this, I have to mention the flow of the whole piece. And that was a great read, by the way, Zach. But, you know, the flow of the whole piece had this kind of movement as I read it, or as I listened to Zach reading it, and as I read it earlier. And, you know, the imagery, the clever metaphors, it just wraps us up in all these emotions inside of this little mystical bubble that she created here, this little bubbly world that she created. And great, great writing for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Zach, your thoughts?
It's amazing. It felt like my reality was being tampered with. I was reading with it a little bit with the, it just, I just feel like distortion a little bit between the haziness brought on between waking and sleeping and not knowing like what kind of imagery will pop up next. I especially like how it ends through the bonbon stinging. And from there, you can kind of, like, tip it on its head and kind of, like, view it as, like, a pyramid. It kind of, like, reads differently, I guess, kind of. It's so trippy. It reads it would probably read differently, like, with every read. You find something new, really. It's that dense.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I could totally see that. Great comment. And I'd like to welcome Jody to the show. Welcome, Jody. Glad you could join us. How's it going?
I'm trying to thaw out. It's very cold here. I helped a baby. Her great aunt put a alternator on her truck out in this freezing cold, so I'm just now thawing out.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, that was nice of you to help. That was.
Yeah,
that was.
She's got bad health and has a lot of doctor appointments, so she has to get to them. So. But, yeah,
well,
here I am.
Good. I'm glad you were able to join us. And
hello.
Did you happen to...
What's that?
I was just going to say, Jody.
Yeah. You sound like you both were talking at the same time.
You know what? I couldn't tell if we were talking at the same time, or if I was getting an echo.
That is odd. Should I try to call back or things like
that? No. It was just us, I think.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it was good.
I did listen to that poem. I thought that was a pretty awesome poem. I thought she did a very good job, you know, like you all were talking about, you know, interplay in between dreams and reality. I did give it that Alice in Wonderland feel about, you know, her using, like, the spontaneous brush strokes and then intoxicating river of passion. It created a captivating journey through the creative process that a poet goes through. That was pretty cool. That stuck out to me. The whole poem itself just left an impression of, like, a bittersweet enchantment. I like that a lot. She did a very good job.
I like that. Yeah, a bittersweet enchantment. That's a great phrase to describe that poem. Very cool. And what do we have next, Naomi?
Okay, so next we have Etchings by Puddles 33, and we do have a SoundCloud for that one.
Etchings by Barb Christing. I will reveal myself slowly. I will draw you from the darkness of your ignorance. Look at me. Study me. Know me. Read between the lines that illuminate, for that is where my silent shadows speak. The scribbles of my past form my edges, but the depth of me resides in my soul. Its wary vulnerability leaks from my eyes. Can you read their invitation? Does the vastness of their colored pools entice or give you pause? Drink me in. Strain my jagged lines between your teeth to find the nectar I have fermented for your intoxicating pleasure. Stagger through the maze to find my truth. Years of lonely hunger mark me. Repeated rejection scars me. Do their tales cause you to stutter when you read my face? Will you use your knife or mine to add your notch? Or will your touch be the touch that heals them all? I fear you. I want you. I need you. So I will reveal myself slowly to give you time to read and know my heart, the heart that casts the etchings that make me, me.
Wonderful read and write there, Barb. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, you can make a recording of your poem because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought she did a great job with the read and the write. She's very talented. I thought, you know, that it was a beautiful poem that of self-revelation, you know, had darkness, vulnerability, and desire for understanding. You know, I thought that made for a very compelling narrative throughout the poem. Obviously had great metaphors in there as well. Yeah, she did a great job. I thought it was a nice journey of self-discovery throughout the poem. Very well done.
It was. Yeah, I like that. A journey of self-discovery. Very cool. And Zach, your thoughts.
There was such a yearning, a deep yearning that I felt with every question asked. It kind of like just built this yearning, kind of building right to the very end until it just became like a need, not just a need, but like they deserve this. You know, you got that feeling that how many questions they've asked, they deserve this, to have this, because they've been without it for so long. Nobody needs that. That's so lonely. Man.
It did. I think you're really good at picking up the emotions in poetry. And because, yeah, there really was a strong sense of yearning and sadness within this poem. So great observations. And Naomi, your thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I get what Zach was saying, because, you know, I picked up on that emotion too. It's like when you meet just this person and, you know, you let yourself finally be vulnerable, because it's not easy for everybody to be vulnerable and to just, you know, shred all your layers. And but when you meet sometimes you meet this right person, and like she says, I fear you. You know, you fear to be hurt, but you want them and you need them also. So it's almost like a pleading not only just to, you know, to talk and, you know, simple talk, but really get underneath my layers, get to know me, you know, ask me questions. Don't hurt me. It's everything mixed in together. And she's just pleading there, please read between my lines to really see what makes me tick, what makes me what I am. And, you know, and she wants to unveil herself slowly to that other person, and so that they can read each scribble. And that etched the picture of who they are, and also so that they can get in between the spaces of those scribbles and read those empty spaces as well, and fill in the spaces and really define the other person, like really get to know them. That's what she wants, you know, for somebody to really get to know her. So an excellent write by Barb here. Amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is a difficult thing to be vulnerable with somebody, especially if you've been hurt over and over again. And great observations there, Naomi. Yeah, I thought this just had amazing imagery and metaphors. You know, I really like how she sees the brokenness and the vulnerability within the artwork, and, you know, brings it out in her poem. I do like how it speaks on being scarred, on being hurt, and wanting someone to see past those scars, wanting someone to see that underneath there's someone worth loving, there's someone worth healing. Amazing lines all the way through, but I especially like years of lonely hunger mark me, repeated rejection scars me. Do their tales cause you to stutter when you read my face? Will you use your knife or mine to add your notch, or will you your touch be the touch that heals them all? Amazing lines all the way through, beautifully written and very well done. And what do we have next, Naomi?
Okay, so since Jody has just arrived, I put up a poem for him while he's thawing out. is your jaw thawed out enough for you to read, Jody? Okay. So, I put up a poem by Mac29, Marks Defined. So whenever you see that.
Yeah, I got it. I didn't even notice this contest. All the Christmas contests. That'd been a cool one to write for, but that's all I got about that. All right. Marks Defined. Any mark made is like an individual breath, experiencing freedom amongst conformity. A single line, dot, or squiggle wanting definition to be unique and discover their importance. No mark is ever made without purpose. Even a single dot or comma has meaning. Yet put into a series and you have a pattern, enabling fun from young and old taking part. Dots on dice also reveal coded numbers. The same is true with dots in Morse code. Messages communicated using dots and dashes, revealing what was happening miles away. Every single mark is important and a deterrent, particularly for blind people with Braille. It determines their understanding of every day, allowing them to understand stories and history. Every scribble is an individual expression full of meaning and context. End poem.
Great read, Jody. And what a really thoughtful write by Matt 29. And Zach, your thoughts on this poem?
Honestly, I felt like I learned a lot just by listening to it. I felt like it was like a lesson in of itself with no pretense involved. It was just like an honest sort of this is how it is description. I was immediately struck by the first line because it just kind of brings to mind just how many marks, you know, Braille. It's just like dancing on the head of angels, dancing on the head of a pin sort of thing. Just amazing. It's not overwhelming. It's just like a surge of just marks. And then you could kind of like, it kind of carries over with the Morse code. And I didn't even know that it was going to be about Morse code. It just kind of developed that way. In Braille, rather, too. Very, very great progression.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it is fascinating the way languages develop, and especially the languages of, if I may call them languages, I think, yeah, of Morse code and, you know, Braille. So very cool observations. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, this poem is really very well written, very well thought out, very intelligently written, thought out. And it totally captures all the importance of a mere scribble, a single mark. You know, whether it is punctuation when you're writing, you know, if you take out a comma or a semicolon or whatever, exclamation mark or question mark, the whole line could mean something totally different, you know. So, and right up to when Morse code was invented, you know, all the importance of that, especially at wartime and all the secret language that was through, you know, codes. And you just think of the SOS, you know, that you put on, you know, the importance of that. And yeah, so the simple squiggle, you know, that is so important, but also just that simple thing, that simple scribble that differentiates us from other people, you know, whether it be a freckle or you know, our nose or, you know, whatever, the color of the unique color of our eyes sometimes, or just that little thing, that little mark that makes us different, that makes us stand out. And I think that he touched on all of those things in this poem and this write, very well thought out and written by Matt here.
It really is, absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Jody, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with both her comments. I enjoyed the connection, you know, of communication through Morse code and Braille. I thought that added depth to the poem. If I didn't know any better, it seemed like he's like a teacher or a professor or something. The way this was worded, it seemed like educational to me. I thought, you know, he did bring out the importance of the meaning and understanding the scribbles with an expression and a profound context to it. Yeah, you really don't realize the importance of such little marks, but they definitely speak volumes. You did a very good job with that.
Absolutely. And, yeah, he does write as if perhaps either he is actually a teacher or he just, you know, has a love of learning himself. And I like how he focuses in on the idea of that every mark has a purpose, even the smallest one, the single dot or comma has meaning or can change the meaning of a sentence, as Naomi was saying. it also makes me think of the idea of how even, you know, scribbling itself, especially in young children or people with learning disabilities. You know, I know my son, Jaron, as I always mention him because I love him, but with autism, you know, when he colors, he does just a lot of scribbling, which is, you know, just an important means of self-expression. But I really like how focused Matt is with this write and how he really offers up food for thought on the importance of individual expression and that everybody have those means, you know. So amazing write and very well done. And what do we have next, Naomi?
Okay, so next we have a write by our very own Betty Page. Can't forget Betty Page. And I guess it's my turn to read. So this is Scribbling Cross Lines. Black, jet, black, start over. Dark, jet, black charcoal, razor sharp blade sharpening, vividly pointing. Plucked right out of holes, perfected edge, smashed, cross page, again placed to blend. Twisting further down, my pencil broken, now mends, reviving again. Alive, what feels dead as chaos swirls round my head, knowing rain will come. Pounding so fiercely, relentlessly, freezing me. I pretend I'm fine. Coloring in books, kaleidoscopes, dark pages, stained glass, beautiful. There's art in sadness. Too much pain caused by madness. Caused my madness as I sit alone, gazing at cruel skies. Wonder why I froze to death. Read my scribbled words. My blood is the ink splattered across these pages, your memory of me, end poem.
Great read, Naomi, and what a beautiful emotive write by Betty Page. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a very captivating interplay of emotions, you know, blending the imagery that she had with the sharpened blades and the resilience to mend. There's contrast in there with, you know, chaos and then anticipation of the rain that adds depth. And I thought the connection between the art, pain, and memories was a very interesting narrative, well-crafted expression of, you know, the inner struggles and the enduring spirit. Very well done. She is a very talented writer.
She truly is. And those are wonderful observations. Zach, your thoughts?
I loved it. I loved especially, it was very forceful. I was immediately drawn with how forceful the artwork was. It seemed to be like hair pulling force used on the art, just waiting for the right moment of inspiration when it's like at peak of darkness, dark and stormy, but then cold. So you get that iciness, it hardens with time and freezes. And it's like, she becomes like Mr. Freeze's dearly departed Nora, essentially, in my eyes. Just eternal.
You know what, I can totally see that. Really cool observation. And Naomi, you did a beautiful read of that. your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, we're seeing more and more like emotive rights these times, I think, from Betty Page. Well, I am anyway. And, you know, very relatable to a lot of people. You know, alive what feels dead as chaos swirls round my head, knowing rain will come, pounding so fiercely, relentlessly freezing me. I pretend I'm fine. You know, how many people do that? You know, they're not, their lives are all, you know, they're like frozen up inside. They're so hurting, but, you know, they're pretending that everything is fine anyway. And, you know, so it's such, it's so emotive, like you said, Pam, but such, so powerful, like you said, Zach. And, you know, this is a swirl of scribbles that fog up your mind as you plummet into darkness, yet all the way while pretending that you're totally fine. And a very emotionally charged, hard-hitting piece. Very well done by Betty Page here.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Wonderful comment, Naomi. Yeah, there is a raw honesty to this. The imagery and the metaphors are haunting, dark, and powerful. And I like how it takes us through the emotions of feeling so burdened with the sadness and the darkness that you hold within, and how you know, the pencil can be a healing, a mending for that pain, but, and it can also be, you know, an expression of that pain. I really like twisting further down, my pencil broken now mends, reviving again, alive what feels dead as chaos swirls round my head, knowing rain will come. There's art in sadness. Too much pain caused my madness as I sit alone. You know, and that's so true. It seems to me that oftentimes that some of the most beautiful and brilliant poetry and artwork is created within the depths of someone's own personal hell. Just a brilliant write and very well done. And apparently the guys are all thinking of songs.
Yeah.
We've got Robbie going with the ABBA flashback. We have Jody thinking of the Crash Test Dummies.
Word associations.
Yeah. Last back to the 80s. Good times, that's for sure. Although Crash Test Dummies, they were the 90s, weren't they, or early 2000s? I can't remember. I feel like those two decades kind of blur together for me.
Yeah, I get it. I get it,
oh,
Pam.
Okay. Yeah. What do we have next, Naomi?
Well, we have a poem by The Atlantic. Vocation, and I guess it's your turn to read, Pam.
All right. Vocation by The Atlantic. Today, my grandmother called me an anchor. Years ago, this would probably mean I was stagnant and holding them back. But today, it was about my mother, a rock tethering another human being to this earth. She told me I was necessary while my inner screamed, veins scrawling in dissent at such responsibility. Imagine being asked to look after your deity, to babysit a god, neglecting their own happiness in favor of another's misplaced faith. Yet without my mother, I'd be just another fleshy droop plucked like a single cherry, still bearing repercussions that pressure created our connection. The core will always persist, become compost and cyanide, or with time, another gangly cherise to fruit, then harvest again and again. I laugh at the thought of metaphorically planting your own tree before death, but as horizons come and go, I've begun to search for a perfect plot of land, tilling the soil of acceptance with fingers and fists in hopes that soon our bond would be severed, but instead adapted like a city skyline or a remastered 80s classic, a perennial shifting where choice is newfound currency, now steady in your voice that will always usher an echo. Slowly a trap is unset, gently a bomb dismantled, oblivious, temperatures rise while the microscopic mutate in the name of natural selection. And until a sublime zenith has finally concluded, I will be your anchor. End poem. And oh my goodness, what an absolutely powerful rite that really pulls at the heartstrings. And Zach, your thoughts?
Powerful. What an opening, first off, to be called an anchor. I could see how that would change with time, but if I would feel immediately honored to be called something like that. If my grandmother said that to me. And I could see how it just becomes heavy. So such a heaviness dropping down. And then the mother connection, living on within flesh and within nature, sort of melding into the eternal universe, and then the sense of void of that grief sort of resting on the ocean floor like that, just kind of there until he's able to move on or something, or to kind of just wait or something. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I can see that. Wonderful observations. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think it's important here to read, and that was an amazing comment, Zach. I think it's important here to read the AN. You know, she says in the AN, or he says, my mother was diagnosed with aphasia last year, and quite is dedicated to her. And you know, when you lose, I know when my mom got sick, oh my gracious, it was like the earth turned upside down. Suddenly the person that was took care of me all my life and that I could count on, suddenly she was, not only was she gone, but she needed me to take care of her. So it was like the roles were all inversed, and you know, the inner turmoil that it caused, and I can totally understand this, you know. And when I read this, this left me with heartache, and you know, the inner turmoil that she experiences, that she talks about, the humongous task of taking care of the very person whose role was to take care of you. You know, the brilliant emotional writing right here, and, you know, very, very well done. So just a fantastic write. Very, like you said, Pam, very heartfelt, emotional, and truly, you know, very touching write.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Wonderful comment, Naomi. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's an interesting subject, you know, because we all go from being taken care of by our parents to one day eventually taking care of them or even grandparents. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I thought she had great metaphors in here, you know, being an anchor, reflecting the weight of responsibility, and planting one's own tree. I thought that was great imagery, you know, before death, adding a layer of contemplation on the whole nature of life. And I love how she concluded, yeah, I will be your anchor. You know, that encapsulates a commitment to the stability of life's uncertainties for her and her family. Yeah, I thought she did a very good job with the poem. Nicely done.
She did, absolutely, absolutely. And Then, yeah, although I'm guessing that seeing that their name, I'm guessing based on their real name, which I won't say on the show, that they might be a guy, but, you know, maybe. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful comment there, Jody. And yeah, it can be. I mean, I haven't been through that situation myself, but from people that have been through it and from the times when I was working at a nursing home, I know it can be very difficult. And, you know, I think for those who don't know, aphasia is basically, and I know there's people could describe it better than I can, but it's like a disconnect between the brain and the mouth. Like the words that you want to say don't come out. I know people who have aphasia. You know, a lot of times it's connected with autism spectrum disorder. It's connected with having a stroke, brain tumors. And, you know, it can be especially frustrating, you know, not only for the people who are going through it, because if you're a person who at one point could talk, you know, could get out, express what they wanted to without any struggle, and then all of a sudden it becomes a struggle, you know, it's frustrating to you, but it's also frustrating to the loved ones and the caretakers. And to be thrown into this sudden, you know, expectation of going from, you know, the someone that everyone sees as holding people back to all of a sudden you're needed to hold things together, really can weigh heavy on a person, acknowledging that sense of responsibility. And as Naomi was saying, you know, to become a caretaker, you know, of a person that took care of you, of a person that you always depended on, and all of a sudden they're depending on you, it can feel as if an idol or a god is asking more of you than you can provide. I just think this is a beautiful, heartfelt rite, a wonderful dedication to his mother and the struggles they go through together, and really just a raw, honest, and beautiful. So amazing rite and very well done. And what do we have next, Naomi?
Okay, so next we have a write by Alice Macabre, and I think it's Zach's turn to read, so Shadows and Light, Zach.
All right, Shadows and Light. We are but shadows and light, waltzing to invisible lines yet to be written. Look behind you, scribbles. Look in front of you, a blank page. Moments gather around us, moth to a flame. Oh, how we burn so brightly. Our paths are stained with the ink of indecision, an ellipsis of envy. A sable silhouette observes a half-life, masking the brilliance beneath. We are all nightmares in someone else's story. Oh, but the dream, swirling silence, a soliloquy of razor blade screams into the void. Come and dance down desolate corridors, the murder of the mind. A childhood lullaby rocks the unconscious awake, melancholic merrymaking, adulthood, a macabre journey without destination. Unless you take up a pen, write without pause, write with fervor, write for a life worth reading. We are but shadows of light, waltzing to visible lines already written. End quote.
Great, great read there, Zach. I have to say it's so great to see Alice back. I know she was taking a little bit of a break, and she's recently come back. I see she's starting to look at and writing for our contests again in the show. So that is absolutely wonderful. I like that she puts in, not my usual, but I ricocheted through ideas like a spin top in her AN. I thought that was clever. And I like that she went with, you know, a form, a thought, a poetic writing that wasn't her usual. It's always great to see people step out of boxes. Amazing imagery and metaphors in this. I like how it speaks on the idea of the light and dark that we're drawn to. I really like moments gather around us, moth to a flame. Oh, how we burn so brightly. Our paths are stained with the ink of indecision and ellipsis of envy. You know, better to make the wrong decision than to make no decision at all. And a childhood lullaby rocks the unconscious awake, melancholic merrymaking, adulthood, a macabre journey without destination unless you take up a pen. You know, you've got to carve out your own path. Amazing right and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I really like the way that she thought this out, and you know, she does have that darkness. She's still our Alice Macabre. She still has a bit of that darkness in this, right? And you know, it shows us that we are both light and darkness. You know, we're both, like you said, Pam, we're both drawn to light and that shadowy side. And you know, she finishes off with right without pause, right with fervor, right for a life worth reading. But we are but shadow as in light, waltzing to invisible lines already written. And you know that dance. That is that how we dance on that fine predetermined lifeline towards inevitable death. You know, we're all on that lifeline. We're all marching and waltzing and dancing on that little line that goes towards death, because death, you know, is inevitable. It's there. It's waiting for all of us. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, it's up to us to carve out, you know, a part of, we can't plan everything, like, but you know, we can carve out a part of our destiny for sure. So well thought out, well written, and a beautiful piece by Alice Macabre here. And great to see you back, Alice.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. And Jody, your thoughts.
Yeah, as I was reading this up and listening to it, I was thinking this is how I would have approached this contest had I got into it. You know what I mean? I think she did a wonderful job with that. I resonated with that very well. Call to write for a life worth reading. I thought that was pretty awesome. And the way she, you know, interweaved the shadows and light, I love that line also. We are all nightmares in someone else's story. Oh, but the dream, right? Like, do we become maybe angels in their nightmare? Who knows? Yeah, I thought that explored vivid imageries and just very well done. Contemplation of existence, right?
I like that. The contemplation of existence. Absolutely. And I'm going to have to start sending you the links to all our Twisted Tuesdays contests, even if I become a pest. And be like, did you see this one, Jody? Did you see this one?
I got so inundated with Christmas contest, I might have missed a few.
Yep. You never know. And wonderful comment there. And Zach, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
I was drawn to it. It just felt like I was included. Like there was a back and forth between like the we, the you, and the us in such an intimate sort of way that like it's just the conversation. And I especially like also the staying mobile. It's like a call to action. It's like a tightrope. You have to stay mobile, or else you're going to be walking that tightrope between life and death. And you have to find an outlet to kind of exercise those demons within that are kind of just bottling up. You have to release it kind of in the spirit of catharsis.
I like that.
Writing.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the balance between life and death, between light and dark. And, you know, I like those observations you made. Very cool. And great comments, everyone. And what do we have next, Naomi?
Okay, so next we have a write-up for Jody to read by Scott S. Sharp. And whenever you're ready, Jody.
Okay. Face amidst the scribbles. A face in the scribbles, scratches onto the page, colors, curves, winds of the universe's gravity, break off, mid-sentence, fall to the bottom of the page. An aura, a shield builds about the eyes, where creases experienced in life and time draw themselves. Lines, seismographs of the fury of Earth's movement in me. Tectonic plates shift. Lift the charcoal pencil, scratching out thoughts inky. Blotches connected by pain in the viewer's eyes. End poem.
Great read, Jody, and what a wonderful write by Scott Sharp. And Zach, your thoughts?
I loved especially, I was struck immediately by the structure, the descent, rather, of the piece. It kind of had the face and the scribbles, and then it just descends kind of like Tetris style almost, and the face that is, and it just kind of, you can see the face very well. Just kind of outlines your own sort of image, and it just goes from top to bottom, because it goes from top, and then it goes down to the seismograph, so kind of below in the earthquake section, and from that, from that earth comes the charcoal, and the pain, you know, that sort of like, at the beginning of There Will Be Blood, that Danny DeLuca was hacking away at the coal, at the bottom of the coal mine, just sort of like trying to make a living somehow, or something like that. It's painful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. I can definitely see that. And I like your observations on the formatting of the poem and how it kind of fit with the shifting of the tectonic plates. Very cool. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, you know, this is a brilliant brevity, you know, without not a world, a word spoiled here, you know, just the exact right word used, which is so important in writing a great brevity, finding the exact great word of that exact metaphor. And here he has it, you know, with the tectonic plate shifting, you know, the scratching out thoughts, the inky blotches. You know, we are all scribbles from what I get out of this poem. We are all scribbles that come to be. We expand, we shrink, we crease, you know, we gain wrinkles, we reshape, you know, as we grow older and go through life, you know, we shift and we, you know, those scribbles, they swirl and they unswirl and they, you know, they soar and, you know, life shapes us. And, you know, I think that's what he's trying to express. I could be mistaken, but that's what I got out of the poem. Brilliant, brilliant brevity by Scott here for sure. Amazing writing.
I like that. Great comment. And Jody, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely had that same sense. I thought the imagery was on point. Kind of gives you a portrayal of the human journey that we all go through. Very vivid use of colors. I thought that, you know, it painted an emotional landscape throughout the poem with the words. It's a very well executed poem for sure. I did a very nice job of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, I did like how this took us into like, you know, the journey of the mind and the way we are formed, as you guys are saying, by our life experiences. He wrote on a variety of prompts, I think just like basically on the theme, and he really did a great job of connecting his writing to the theme of the contest, or the theme of the artwork. Really amazing lines all the way through and excellent brevity. I did especially like line seismographs of the fury of Earth's movement in me, tectonic plate shift, lift, the charcoal pencil scratching out thoughts. I like how that speaks on the fury of emotions felt in the moment and how they can move us, how they can change us. And so just a really amazing write and very well done. And what do we have next, Naomi?
Next, I have Zach. I have your poem up, Zach. So whenever you're ready, my dear, give it a read for us.
Oh, sure. All right. Here we go. Shades of her gray soul. I traded the gray shade of your taupe lips for a black charcoal smear. It's your face, post-kiss, the expectant glow, closer inspection, rubbing dark off me. Your floral patterns cover the delicate, pale, stark hair sheath curled over your exposed shoulder in S-shaped spiral springs, running my fingers through thickets, silky smooth, currents spark downriver, rough round stones changing my hue, lightens me, saves my dark eyes, staring into your lighter abyss, casting stones, boulders, weight off my shoulders, less, fits into new shapes, cut into halves, merged, a core beats in quarters, thumping in the dark. End poem.
Great read and write, Zach. I'm glad you decided to share this one with us. I think this pre-write actually does fit really well with the theme, with the artwork and the emotions created within the artwork. And of course, I will comment further, but I'd like to get other comments first. So Naomi, let's start with you.
Yeah, I really like this, Zach. And we can see that you must be a romantic at heart. You know,
yeah.
I traded the gray shade of your taupe lips for a black charcoal smear. Wow, you know, what a way to start off a beautiful love poem. And, you know, it's beautiful, it's profound, and there's an emotion that pours out of this. You know, light, you know, when you say changing my hue lightens me, saves my dark eyes, staring in your lighter abyss, casting stones, boulders, weight off my shoulders. You know, this person really is special to you. They lift you up. You know, they change you, you know, they reshape you in a way. And, you know, I think this is brilliantly written. You know, it's not the soggy, you know, love poem that we see. It's like a modern day. It's fresh. It's unique. It's cleverly written. And it's very well thought out. So bravo, Zach. I really like this. All the way through.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, firstly, it feels like Naomi's trying to seduce him into artist seduction show.
That would be great.
But, yeah, no, Zach, I thought you did a great job.
Thanks.
Great rhythmic flow, you know, evocative language, you know, created a narrative of self-discovery and, you know, emotional liberation throughout. I thought it beautifully captured the transformative power of a kiss, you know, using the vivid imagery. So very well done. Nicely.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Absolutely. The transformative power of a kiss. I like that. Very cool. Yeah, I mean, this really had amazing imagery and metaphors, beautiful heartfelt lines. I do like how it speaks, as I said in my written comment, to me anyways, and a love that creates balance and light in the darkest of times. I do like how you create, as Jody was saying, a narrative that not only kind of physically describes, but more importantly, emotionally describes this person. And, you know, I really like where it says, round, rough stones changing my hue, lightens me, saves my dark eyes, staring in your lighter abyss, casting stones, boulders, weight off my shoulders. You know, it's important to have somebody that can help you carry the burdens through life. Like I said, I'm really glad that you shared this with us. And Zach, was there anything that you wanted to say about your poem?
Just thank you for the wonderful words. It's a little bit. I just don't know what to say. I'm a little bit flustered. Thank you.
Absolutely, thank you. Glad you could be here. And what do we have next, Naomi?
Yeah, well, before I announce the next show, you know, Zach, we have Art of Seduction every Wednesday.
Wednesday.
We have contests up. Yeah, so check that out, yeah. Art of Seduction. I think you do, do great rights.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jody, for that little jumped in there. Okay, so next up we have Julie Buck. I'm in there somewhere, and I guess it's my turn to read. I have to do a little bit of work here. I'm in there somewhere, and it'll be a delight to read, Julie. I'm in there somewhere. I don't search anymore. I know what I want. Hairy days, scary ways, dry skin, and I think Vaseline. My man says Jergens lotion. I go with petroleum jelly, greasy on the skin, but more natural, mindful of stains. He says clear lake, and I want salty ocean. I'm dirty, but don't want to bathe. He says, I love you, and I wonder why. My tangled hair is guilty. It forms a novel around my face. My dead eyes almost want to live. I'm in there somewhere. My indifference says I have more to give. The spiders and I sigh. Doing is better than trying. So I'll give it an unchained try. End poem.
Great read, Naomi, and what a wonderful write by Jody. Not Jody, sorry. I don't know why I said Jody. Probably because it starts with J. Yes, that must be. By Julie. Zach, your thoughts?
I was mostly struck by how the face was obscured throughout, or not just the face, but the self, the sort of like suppression of the self, hiding what's inside. But at least that by the end of it, the speaker was willing to kind of end on a note of hope and kind of be willing to just give it a try, you know, kind of just open themselves up to whatever's out there and see what happens. I like that.
Absolutely, because, you know, sometimes you have to take those risks in life. You have to just try. So absolutely, great comment. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was very well done. I've noticed her poetry in other contests. She's one that I've been reading a lot. I like her style. You know, it's a raw honesty about, you know, feeling dirty but resisting the urge to bathe. And then lines like, my dead eyes almost want to live. You know, that to me is like a powerful sense of vulnerability. And I think she explores, you know, the identity and the ongoing journey of self-acceptance in this. Very well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, you know, like Jody said, you know, I love Julie's work. You know, it's always raw, it's always real, and it's downright genuine. It's just Julie on the page, you know. She just pours out her deepest thoughts onto the page for us to scoop it up and savor it. And, you know, here she brilliantly takes us through a multitude of different emotions and, you know, simply and purely by being completely Julie. And, you know, and I want to say thank you, Julie, because, you know, that's what we get. We get her when we read her poetry. We get all of her and just poured out on the page. So just amazing writing as usual.
That is so true. She is very good about sharing her raw, honest self with us. Great comment there, Naomi. Yeah, and I like how she often does it, especially in this poem with the everyday moments, you know, having to make the decision, you know, Jergens lotion or Vaseline, and, you know, how the idea of having that rebellious spirit, you know, I go with petroleum jelly, greasy on the skin, but more natural, mindful of stains. He says clear lake and I want salty ocean. The idea of always wanting the opposite. And, you know, I like how she brings in the idea of the relationship that she has and their differences, but yet at the same time, they do manage to find this sense of connection. And, you know, as Zach was saying, there's this idea of just kind of, you know, giving in to the indifference, giving in to the not trying, and just being willing to try. Amazing, right, and very well done. And before we move on to the next poem, I would like to mention, I hope everyone will keep an eye out on the contest and topic board put up by Late Night Poets hosts and hostesses. And I'd especially like to point out that Fill My Eyes has a topic board up for Fill My Eyes and Company with Poetry, which is our open poetry show. So please feel free to share something on there and call in and join us on Friday. And with that being said, what do we have next, Naomi?
Hey, well, we have Wayne Gent, and Don't Draw Any Conclusions, and we do have an audio for that one.
Yes, we do. Here we go.
This is called Don't Draw Any Conclusions by Wayne Gent. I've been unraveling since the day you walked out. My nerves are on edge. What was that all about? Did I cross over the line? Is there something I should sign? The lines on my face are not there by design. I feel like I'm hanging by a thread. Wind is fine. There's a lot of curves in my head, in my mind. Can't draw a conclusion. Don't have scribble thoughts. I could use a number 2 pencil. Can't afford the cost. If I could, I would change the frown that sits on my face. Wouldn't it be nice to take bad memories and erase? I've become so stagnant. I feel like I'm made of lead. And I wish I can get these doodles out of my head. But I guess I'll just zigzag on and turn the page. I don't know if I should sharpen the thoughts at my age. The mark in my mind is as plain as black and white. You still put the lead in my pencil, and that you can write. In.
Great reading right there, Wayne. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. My gracious, this is so relatable to so many people. You know, that first stanza, you know, I've been unraveling since the day you walked out. My nerves are on edge. What was that all about? Did I cross over the line? There's something I should sign. The lines on my face are not there by design. You know, just, that's such a great write on, you know, you get it all mixed up, the thoughts, you know, when you're after a breakup or after, you know, somebody, you know, just, you know, takes off or something, and you know you're there, and what did I do wrong, what could I have done differently, you just go over and over and over and over in your head, and you say why, you know, and I wrote to him, it's, you know, it's kind of like a ball of yarn that a cat has torn apart and played with, all tangled up. And, you know, you're like that big pile of tangled up yarn. And, you know, I think the metaphors in here are just amazing, and his imagery and the way he wrote down the you know, just his thoughts, you know, using the pencil and, you know, right to that last line, you still put the lead in my pencil and that you can write. You know, so just an amazing write by Wayne. I really, really enjoyed this one.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was overall, you know, an introspective piece. You know, a lot of turmoil of heartbreak and self-reflection. I really enjoy the way he storytells with his voice. I think it adds a nice touch to it when he does the sound clouds. Then you got the metaphors, you know, that he used, the pencil and his lead. I thought that added a really cool touch to the expression of the emotions he was feeling. Yeah, I thought he did a great job with the imagery, you know, and the vivid pictures painted of the poet's struggle, you know, with the phrase like longing to erase bad memories and hanging on by a thread. Yeah, I thought he did a very good job with that.
He really did. And yes, not only in the writing, but as you were saying, in his reading too. So great comment. And Zach, your thoughts?
Fantastic. What a kicker to start it off. It's just almost like a shotgun blast that triggers this whole thing. Is just storming off into the night sort of feeling with this twisted road all containing all these thoughts in his head about what happened, and like all these like thoughts of grief. So essentially all this feels like essentially like a bargaining sort of thing. And then there's like just the musical accompaniment. It felt like it was well timed. It felt like a performance theater sort of thing. And it ends on a great note of triumph and a revelation that as long as you had the pencil, you can still cope with that feeling of defeat. As long as you have that pencil, you just need to write it out again. And then you'll be, the catharsis occurs, and then you'll be at least better off than where you were before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, yeah, sometimes you just have to find the healing in some way, because you're not necessarily going to get the closure that you wanted. Great comment there, Zach. I really like how a lot of his word choicing really fits in with the topic and with the theme, even the title, Don't Draw Any Conclusions. A wonderful write, great rhyme, strong imagery. You know, I like how he focuses in on, as you guys were saying, the aftermath of breaking up and, you know, trying to figure out where the miscommunication happened, where wires got crossed, where there was, you know, misconceptions found, and, you know, wanting to go back and changing it, but realizing that you can't. And so, you know, as you were saying, Zach, sometimes the only thing you can do is go and write about it, write about the emotion, write about the pain, you know, and which is a kind of a purging of the pain. Amazing lines all the way through and very well done. And what do we have next, Naomi?
I didn't post it, did I? Oh, okay. Oh, there we go. Okay, so your turn to read, Pam. And I got a piece up by Ruby.
Oh, wonderful. All right. Love Unwritten by Ruby 2446. And it goes like this. Words of darkness flow. The depths of despair and depravity fill pages pouring from the shadows of my soul that I keep hidden, that gets expression on paper, but nowhere else. The dark side of me can be written. Turn the switch, let the light shine, the muse of sweet-scented dewy roses, petals misty and unfurling, babbling brooks of sensuality, starry exclamations of affection. Paper drinks them up, sensing the emotion, the hunger, the needs, the lust. Yet it rejects the heart-quivering, mind-blowing writing out of love. Is it too deep, too misunderstood? Words cannot form on my page to do the magic justice. It is clenching in my breast, throbbing. I want to say it, write it, but my words are tempered, watered down somehow. They never express the craziness, the otherworldly feeling, the unreality, the sensations ever evolving, the love being lived daily. My flow breaks. I want to breathe love into my poetry, but it cannot be captured by my language. It is too powerful for my ink, which splatters and only expresses lust. Never releasing the essence of love, the words won't come. How emotionally and artistically unfair it seems. The darkness wins for ease of poetic expression over pure love, elusive and mysterious, its depths too deep to be captured by my pen, as if my pen breaks under its unfathomable powers. End poem. And what an amazing write by Ruby, who wrote to the quote by Rumi, a pen went scribbling along. When it tried to write love, it broke. Jody, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this is a very elegantly written poem, exploring the struggle between, you know, expressing the darkness and the challenges of, you know, capturing the essence of pure love on paper. Very vivid imagery. I thought the poet kind of grappled with the limitations of language, you know, to convey the depth of the, when it came to expressing her love, a little bit of internal conflict and the yearning for the words that truly captured that essence. It offered a great narrative within the poem, for sure. Very well done.
Absolutely. And yes, she definitely did a great job of capturing the essence of the quote. So very cool. And Zach, your thoughts?
I just had the image of, I love the image of a blank page. And then, like, what's done to that blank page, essentially, it's devoured by ink. Like, the sensual need is absorbed so clearly, like a sponge, like a magic spell. In the end, the page is just so saturated with this dark lust, it becomes too much distortion as it drips. It's very clear.
It really is. And, yeah, blank page really did make for a great metaphor. Very cool. Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, you know, I agree so much with Ruby. You know, it's so much so easier to read to write a poem about lust. You know, like we write so much for art of seduction, and but you know, real when you come to writing about the real essence of love, like Jody was saying about pure love. Oh my gracious, that's so much more, you know, harder because there's so many multitude of facets of love that are so very difficult to catch in ink. You know, love is a mystical thing. It's grandiose. It's mysterious, and it can be fleeting. It's easier to capture despair and hate, a broken heart, than to encompass the whole notion of love. And, you know, so, you know, I agree so much with what Ruby is saying here in this poem. And like I think Jody said so elegantly and, you know, classily put, you know, together, very wonderfully well-written poem here by Ruby.
It really is. I have to agree. Wonderful comment, Naomi. Yeah, I love the imagery and metaphors in this. Her use of spacing, you know, and how some of the lines kind of break off by themselves as if they're a representation of the heartbreak gone through. And it is oftentimes easier, I think, to express heartbreak than to, you know, express love. I like how also this poem speaks to the idea that sometimes the muse, sometimes poetry takes us in directions that we don't necessarily want to go, but that this inner part of ourselves acknowledges that we must connect with our poetry. I really like, is it too deep, too misunderstood? Words cannot form on my page to do the magic justice. It is clenching in my breast, throbbing. I want to say it, write it, but my words are tempered, watered down somehow. They never express the craziness, the otherworldly feeling, the unreality, the sensations, the love. You know, just amazing lines all the way through. Beautifully written and very well done. And Naomi, what do we have next?
Okay. So next we have a poem for, I think it's Zach's turn to read. So Zach, by Goran, I can't, I have trouble pronouncing his name, Gronway, when you see that, Zach.
Scribbles of foundling words, found in doubts of dreaming scribbles, caught by open pages and corners of eyes, stolen by a dancing pen and waltzing words, written and crossed out blots of letters, finding lost words in chain libraries, drawn in ink from veins of blood, kneeling in prayer, seeking sanctuary from the execution pages of lines, like ghosts of fingerprints and alphabets, misshaped and unborn poetry, lost masterpieces of sleeping words, caught visions of might have been. Left to writing thieves by lines of time, as foundlings on the page, spelling invisible tears of scribbled words and hopes of dreams. End poem.
Great read, Zach, and a wonderful write by Garanwi, who I admit I don't know if I'm pronouncing their name right either, Naomi, but I assume by now, as many times as I've said it, that they're either just being horribly polite or I'm at least close enough. so they can correct us if we've been pronouncing it wrong all this time. I wouldn't mind at all. Naomi, your thoughts on this wonderful write?
Yeah, my gracious, you know, it's such a, you know, of course it's filled with, like he can write on my, I suppose it's, I always supposed it was a man. Yeah, Anthony. Oh, I'm not supposed to say names on air. Yeah, I, you know, he writes in such a way every time, you know, wonderful metaphors, beautiful imagery, powerful lines. Finding lost words in chained libraries, drawn in ink from veins of blood, kneeling in prayer, seeking sanctuary from the execution's pages of lines. You know, how, you know, powerful is that? And, you know, just, you know, from what I got it, you know, we are all a mash of scribbles. And as poets, so is our writing. And I think he captured that here, you know, so amazingly well, you know, the by ghosts of fingerprints and alphabets, misshaped and unformed poetry, lost masterpieces of sleeping words, caught visions of might have been, you know, where we just, you know, the way we just write, it just, you know, pours out sometimes, and it's like it's a swirling scribble of thoughts, you know, that flow down onto the page, and just amazing, amazing, amazing write by Granway here. Amazing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. And Zach, your thoughts?
Oh, I loved it. I immediately thought of like a jittery, uncontrollable pen, like an editorial pen almost, just kind of dancing around. And then like it goes from that to just going back in time to like the days of heretics and the Inquisition seemingly. And back in those days when it was so difficult to express oneself. And he captures the fervent need to kind of write for the self and to find that inner voice that unlocks, like, the free-flowing thought, the freedom, that is, of thought.
I like that. I like that. And I like the observation on the, you know, taking us back in history, the heretics and the, you know, Inquisition. So very cool there. And Jody, your thoughts on this poem?
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I was going to reread that stanza that Naomi did, but I'll spare everybody. But that definitely caught my attention. I like that one. You know, it kind of shows how fragile creativity can be for a writer sometimes. It's not always perfect what you get out and put it on paper, end up scribbling it out. And I mean, words were lost to that, right? I thought he did a great job with, you know, weaving a tale of scribbles that were caught in the dance of a pen. He had great imagery with stolen words and chained libraries all the way through the poem. It was very well written.
It really is. Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And, yeah, I really liked the imagery in this, the metaphors. Very thoughtful lines. I liked stolen by a dancing pen and waltzing words, written and crossed out blots of letters, finding lost words in chained libraries, drawn in ink from veins of blood. I like how that speaks on the idea of how people have tried to take away throughout history, you know, people's access to knowledge. It makes me think of the banning of books and how, you know, it's been said, you know, that if you want to control people, if you want to control a nation, you take away their books, you take away their access to books. You know, just an amazing write, how words are an expression of hopes and dreams, or an expression of human history. Truly an amazing write and very well done. And I would like to let everyone know that we are going to have some carryovers, which will be read at the beginning of next week's Twisted Tuesdays. We'll combine the carryovers along with a 12 spots only contest that I'm running that's got a quote and a picture to keep for people to be inspired by. So, you know, Jody, if you did want to write for this particular theme for any of the artworks or the quotes, you do have time. You have a week to do that, and you can put it on the topic board for next week.
All right.
Write
sounds like a plan.
Down, Jody.
All right. Very cool. All right. And what do we have next, Naomi?
We have a piece for Jody to read, and it's No Giacometti. Giacometti.
Okay. No Giacometti. Skinny women destined for ostrich. Portraits of the French elite. Shrunken heads to guillotine. Marie Annette, shortly after breakfast, prowled up the rough-aged steps posed for David. Modern muse, full of attitude, demanding top position. CEO of fashion magazine, considered becoming a lesbian, scribing on therapist instructions. Known the art of haughty indifference, mechanics of graduate success, before the wrinkles move right in. End poem.
Great read there, Jody. And what a particularly clever write by Peter Solway. You know, I always have to Google something with his writing. You know, I had to Google Giacometti, which it turns out that Alberto Giacometti was a sculptor, an artist who did sculptures of figures, men, women, and animals that had a particularly long, skinny, elongated look to them. And so I think by looking at that artwork, you get a little bit more of a feel for the poem itself. I really like how this speaks on a society's obsession with perfection, especially in the fashion industry, you know, and especially, you know, like magazines. Peter definitely always offers up great imagery and metaphors, food for thought. I like where he says modern muse full of attitude, demanding top position, CEO of fashion magazine to consider becoming a lesbian, scribbling on therapist instructions. Raw, gritty lines that take a look at, you know, the constant fluctuation of life through art and the constant expectations for society's current obsession with whatever that may be, whatever the standard of beauty is within the moment. So excellent write and very well done. And Zach, your thoughts?
It was captivating. Right from the get-go, I was wondering why he decided to start with Auschwitz and the French elite and the executions and Marie Antoinette. And then he kind of like fast forwards a little bit and talks about like the progression of from the guillotine to like the sort of like a more modern sensibility of the human form, the beauty of the human form being a little bit more updated and refreshing for that. And some of the words are deliberately misspelled, and that makes me think, like, there's got to be a reason because, I mean, it just makes me think, like, some of these truncated words are, like, representative of the executions that transpired at the beginning of the poem, if that makes sense. Kind of like a texture thing.
Oh, there's always a reason, yeah.
I know.
Well, I will say, and this isn't for everybody, there are some people who, like me, occasionally just miss a word that they spelled wrong. But Peter Solway is always very purposeful in his so-called, you know, misspellings. So, yeah. So great catch there. And wonderful comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's like Peter Solway. Me too. I always have to, you know, I had to Google that word. And, you know, and me too, I was wondering, you know, Marie-Annette, you know, which I suppose is Marie-Antoinette. Unless there's another Marie on Annette.
There's
but,
a
you know,
singer named Marie Annette.
There's a what?
A French singer? I Googled it. There's a French singer named Marie Annette.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
I,
okay. Okay. And, yeah, but, you know, he always is so intriguing in his writing. And, you know, I have to reread and reread. And I think I reread this like 5 or 6 times before supper and after supper. And I was there, oh, my gracious, come on, Naomi. You know, and, you know, and I admire him for that, you know, because he makes me, you know, like my brain really has to go to work when I'm reading his poetry. And, yeah, I get it, you know, what you said, Pam, you know, that this rushed for to fit in into this certain kind of fashion, you know, like at the beginning, I think the skinny woman designed destined for Auschwitz. Well, you know, like the really those skinny models that almost faint because they're anemic there. And, you know, there was that fashion. And, you know, he goes into he really, like, ridiculizes everything, you know, against everything. He's gritty, he's hard-hitting, you know, he throws a punch. And he's sarcastic, you know, he goes against conformity. And right down to before the wrinkles move right in, you know, that can be taken literally, but it can be taken like as a metaphor also, you know, till the wrinkles of society or everything, they move again, you know, the fashion changes or whatever, or something reshapes something. So, you know, just really amazing poetry by Peter Solway, always thought-provoking.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm glad you looked that up because I was thinking she was like a French queen, but that was like Marie Antoinette or something, right?
Yeah, Marie Antoinette. Yes, she was.
Okay, yeah. But
and it could have easily also been a reference to her, too.
Yeah, I thought you did a great job, you know, with a stark portrayal of the impact of history and society and the expectations on women. I thought, you know, the exploration of identity and, you know, the social pressure definitely resonated through the poem and had a theme of indifference and inevitability, passage of time and all that. I thought he did a great job putting that together. Cleverly too, very well done. I have to read more of his poetry.
Absolutely, I do highly recommend it. And great comment there, Jody. Wonderful show tonight, everyone. I really enjoyed the company and the poetry. Thank you, Naomi, as always, for being my twisted sister and my amazing co-host. Thank you, Jody and Zach, for calling in. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show. It was listening while we are on live or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Thank you to Robbie, Alice, and who else? Wayne. Thank you to Wayne for hanging on the board. You all are just absolutely amazing. And have a good night, everyone.